Now, earlier this week, the Vatican announced significant changes to the structure of the church in the west of Ireland. The news comes as the number of priests continues to decline. This means more work for fewer priests, especially in rural communities. Our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan has been finding out more.
News came from the Vatican this week that there is to be a major reorganisation in the Diocese of Tuam, with Killala in County Mayo and Aconry in County Sligo set to become part of it. This means that both of these areas will lose their bishops. Many local priests today are finding themselves covering more ground than ever before, and it comes at a time when the average age is rising. Although mass numbers may be in decline, the need for priests to preside over baptisms, weddings, funerals and other ceremonies remains. I travelled to Westport to meet Father John Kenny, who is one of many covering more ground than he had in the past. We took a drive out to one of his areas to talk about how his role has changed. But first, I have to learn how to open the door of his Tesla.
Push your thumb on the door,
Henry. This is already very new to me.
Let's see if you go back. You're a big tall man.
We started driving west, and it wasn't long before the hills and the water came into view.
I'm bringing you out the countryside of our parish, which is Murrisk, this area here near the mountain, and then the next place is called the Canvey, and after that we're heading the direction of Runa, which is the pier that brings you to Clare Island and Inishturk.
I started by asking Father John about his own responsibilities and how this was done in the past when there were more priests.
So there used to be, was it five priests in kind of across
there
this area
been,
now?
There four here in this parish, in the town, and then there was one out the country.
Yeah, so how many is there now?
One.
Just you?
There's a priest in the neighbourhood, all right, who helps. He's out the country. He's an Indian priest. And we have another priest retiring.
Yeah.
In the neighbouring parish where there were two churches, and there's two islands in my jurisdiction as well.
We parked the car at the foot of Croagh Patrick, and I asked him about the challenges he faces covering larger areas.
You can't cover the ground, you can't get around to everyone and everything. So I kind of look at it from that point of view, that we're overseers rather than...
I suppose for parishioners then in those areas, what does that mean to them? And
I think
get a bit of a community block.
They know they can make contact with us at our liturgies and our masses and various occasions like that. And we're always there if there's a tragedy or a funeral or an illness. But at the same time, we can't be there then for other things like football matches or wedding receptions and things that we used to do a lot of. You're busy, Father, you're heading back. And when I hear the word you're busy, Father, I just say busy. This is your busy time of the year. This is when you talk about Christmas or talk about Easter.
Like many priests, Father John has his finger to the pulse of his community, and he's there for all of the highs, but he's also there for all of the lows. I wanted to know what it's like when he goes home each day and whether he himself gets support when something affects him.
I sometimes go into the house and I just shout out, "Hello, hi, honey, I'm home," and I know there's no one there to say hi back. But just even to that release sometimes, and just like we were doing there, have a laugh, smile at the idea. Yeah, that you go into an empty house. But thankfully, I have a good network of friends and family that I can draw support from, and the colleagues. That's one thing about working our own. And at this deanery, we make an effort to support each other and be there for each other, as well as being there for our parishioners and people. So if I ever find myself needing advice or kind of feeling under pressure from a situation I'm in, pastoral, whatever it might be, a tragedy that happened, I know there's somebody at the end of a phone then for me as well. And that's so important. If that wasn't there, I don't know, you would burn out.
After our conversation, we headed back into Westport, where I met one of the sacristans, Peter. I asked him about Father John and his work.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah. He really is, but I tell you, he's very busy now. Since he came here, he's very busy. He has one other priest helping him, but he's out in a small little parish in Agour, Father Brittis. He's an Indian priest, lovely man. And he helps out on the weekends for weekend masses and that. But he does most of it himself.
Before I left, I had one more question for John. As someone whose role can involve joy one day, then be there to support families after a tragedy the next, I wanted to know how he handles such contrasting emotions.
You're moving from the celebration of a birth and a baptism to a death and a dying. And you just, I suppose, through practice and through being there for people, you get to cope with that. I suppose that similarly, it might be the case for nurses, doctors, emergency services, Gardaí, having to break sad news to somebody. One day they're in the classroom telling the kids, you know, how to be safe on the road, and the next day they're going home to tell a parent, your son has been found or your daughter in a car accident. Nurses and doctors, the same. They're not always bringing good news to people or sharing their good news. So it's not just the priesthood or the priest or that has to cope with that and have coping mechanisms. So that's why it's so important to have a network of people to debrief mm-hmm. with and talk to and ring up after you've dealt with it. But at a certain level, you have to be professional too. We can't immerse ourselves so deeply into a situation that we get no help to anyone. Or yeah, sometimes we're just there quietly, and our physical presence and what we represent is enough for the people that are there too.